Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, that was Alex Cora around 2 o'clock when we spoke to the victorious manager of Game 1, the wild card series between the Red Sox and the Yankees. That also just reminded me of something, because in my ear when the clip was playing about Fenway Park, Dan Ball was like, did Alex Cora just say he likes Yankee Stadium? He said something else, but I won't say it all on the air. But it made me think. I have this whole conspiracy theory in my head, and I'm going to point this at Dan Ball because I think he loves these. He's got a lot of these ideas in his head about especially Cora.
There's always something below the surface.
So had Alex Cora not signed an extension during the middle of last season?
Yes.
Is there a chance that Alex Cora would be managing in this series for a team in this series, but the home team in this series, that the Yankees failed to win the World Series, they're sick of Boone, they fire him because Alex Cora is available as a World Series winning manager, got a ring, proven he can deal with the crap that comes with a big market franchise, all the pressures that come with it. Am I thinking too deep? If he hadn't signed that extension and just played it out, become a free agent, they fire Boone. He's managing the Yankees. Mm. The Yankees are in this series, but it's Alex Cora managing.
That would have been a good business move for them to do. I don't think I would have trusted Brian Cashman to do that. It would have taken a little too much forward thinking. I think he likes Aaron Boone as his puppet, just pulling the strings as he sees. Would have been a smart move. I still, my opinion at the time was he was going back to Dave Dombrowski in Philly if he did not re-sign with the Red Sox. But
man.
Certainly would have been an upgrade for the Yankees if they did go that way.
And the Yankees, so Al signed that deal, what, in the middle of last year?
Yeah, it was just after the All-Star, the trade deadline?
So
somewhere in there?
Let's say if he didn't sign, so his contract ended at the end of last year. Yeah, and then the Yankees went to the World Series last year, so they weren't going to fire Boone after
going to
the World
Series.
Oh, I'm
not so sure about that. The Yankees have high, they're in the playoffs this year. Like, he's getting fired after a playoff season at some point. Like, that was a failure for them. They continue to come up short of what is the organizational goal in New York. I do think that he is running out of... I heard somebody joke about the nine lives. I think he's running out of the nine lives there. I'm not saying it's... I just think the opportunity... Hell, we saw the Knicks do it. It's another New York team.
Yeah.
Had their best season in...
That's true.
What, a quarter century it was? And they were like, we're moving on. And they didn't have an Alex Cora dangling out in free agency to bring in.
Well, they got a buffoon for an owner, though.
Yeah, they do. So do the Yankees...
Do they? I don't know. I mean,
Steinbrenner's
little Brenner.
It's one Steinbrenner. Yeah, was it Hank?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Oh, there's only one now. There's not multiples.
You never hear much from Hank.
I think the other brother
keeps
away.
A low pro. Oh.
Yeah, he probably isn't owning any.
It's tough to own.
Hank and Brian Cashman were best buds when they were both kind of coming up within the Yankees organization. So it's essentially Hank owns the team and tells Brian, do whatever you want. Lifetime contract, blank check. Yeah.
Either way, Alex Cora is managing in this game and in this series, but he's managing, thankfully, well, for those of us that are believers in Alex Cora, thankfully for the Boston Red Sox. Yep. Mm-hmm. His magic was on display last night. And I am interested to see where this series goes. Do you feel like there's... pressure is obviously pressure on the Yankees because it's quite literally we overuse it, Fitzy. Guess what this is for the Yankees?
Must win.
Sneaky big.
No, also must win because their season's over and they could fire their coach and who knows what the hell. It's the Yankees. Who knows what happens if you lose. But is there a little pressure on the Red Sox to not let it to get to game three? Because game three is Connolly early.
Yes.
The real kitchen sink game, Fitzy kind of thing. So, you, Ted, you think there's some pressure on the Reds? Just get it done?
A little bit. A little bit. Because Connolly early, even though he had a great outing in his last time up, but he's a rookie. You don't know. You don't know what you're getting. He's never pitched in the playoffs at Yankee Stadium. So, and the way in a three-game series, we all thought, you know, you got your ace. The Garrett Crochet pitching that you should win that series, and if they don't come away with a win in this series, it's gonna look. I mean, you and I said, you know, that this team's pretty much exceeded our expectations, so we're already happy. But there's gonna be a lot of people that looked at it this as an opportunity, especially after winning Game One. And don't be the first team in 13 tries to win Game One and then lose the series. They'd be the first to ever do it. So I think there is a little bit of pressure on them.
Thanks for listening, Ted.
I read your tweets.
Fitzy, you can...
I also have a real big feeling, Andy. You know, I think we're not... We mentioned three starts against the Red Sox this year, 5.74 ERA and 15 and two-thirds innings. Carlos Rodon is not the guy that you want to have the ball in his hands when your season and possibly Aaron Boone's job as manager of the Yankees is on the line. I'm sorry. Like he is not a big game pitcher. And I don't care if these words get thrown back at me tomorrow. He is not the guy that you want to have. He's way too inconsistent. I know Bayo can be. Bayo has been much better than Rodon this year, regardless of whatever analytics you want to throw my way. It's advantage Red Sox as far as this game goes tonight. I think once, if he even bleeds a bit, the Sox pounce.
Oh, the pitching advantage matchup is very much on the Red Sox side. Bayo, two games, 14 innings with zero runs allowed against the Yankees over two starts. Like that's, and then you just said it, almost a 6 ERA for Rodon against the Red Sox. Side topic, this is, we don't have time to necessarily get into this, but big picture item, I said this to Arcand off air yesterday. You think of Red Sox Yankees, big market, big money. Neither of these teams has a third starter. You just said the Yankees' second starter is barely a number two starter in a big game. Like, these massive $240-plus million payrolls really don't go as far as they used to. And I know there's Garrett Cole is obviously an ace, and he's injured. And, you know, there's some injuries. Giolito.
He sucked in the playoffs recently.
Well, the Red Sox have had his number over the years. Yep. They've definitely. But it's funny to think of Red Sox, Yankees, and like.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rookie matchup or bullpen game in game three, game two, you're wondering which guy is fatigued and which guy can make it. It's like, wow, they had their aces and that's really all they had to play. And now they're just crossing their fingers and hoping you can score some runs. But this is a matchup that should favor the Red Sox tonight. I don't know. It feels like the last six starts-ish of the season have floated a little doubt into the Bayo world. And I don't know if we're enough pessimists to say, oh, so Giolito started to struggle down the stretch and Giolito ended up having an injury and Giolito can't pitch anymore. Bayo struggled down the stretch. Is he dealing with something? Is he more than fatigued? Is there an issue there that we don't know about? Because we didn't know about it with Giolito until we look back on the performances in retroactivity, Fitzy.
Yeah, but I think something was nagging at all of us. We all kind of had our suspicions about Giolito. You don't just all of a sudden lose 4 or 5 miles an hour off the fastball and walk half the ballpark and, I don't know, it's just mechanics or I'm kind of tired, arm fatigue. Like, something was wrong there. Whereas guys like Luis Gil, who could be their two or three starter now, has been bumped back even more after injuries this season. Cam Schlittler, you know, good pitcher, young guy as well. Like, Yankees rotation is just an absolute mess. And, you know, we got a mess inside our own house as well, but let's just hope that we only have to worry about two starters, and then we'll cross the Connolly Early Bridge up north later.
So let's paint a picture. You have Brian Bale. How deep do we think he can go? Because I don't think Cora will have much of a leash with him. Fitzy, in your world, like, if he starts to struggle and it's, you know.
If he's given up four after four, like, what do you, is that.
He might be gone.
He might be
bye-bye.
Gone.
And depending on how he's giving up the four, he might not get to four.
If he's three and a third
and he's scuffling along, I think somebody's coming in. But who's coming in? Like, how do we play this? Kyle Harrison, you think, is next in line?
Yes, I do. And I think Bayo goes through. Best case scenario, guys, Bayo makes it five, goes through the order twice.
Okay.
That's right.
That's the best case. The guy's got 14 straight shutout innings against the New York Yankees. That's seven per game. And you're telling me five innings is the best case scenario?
A five-inning start where he gives up one run, goes through the order twice. Red Sox are tied or up 2-1. And then, like I said, and then it's literally like every tool, every steak knife. Yeah. Everything's available. Kitchen cabinet game.
And I think, too, you guys, don't you think, you know, you could get maybe, he was talking about maybe squeezing two innings out of Whitlock.
Yeah.
And if they needed Chapman in the ninth, then he's available as well, he said.
Well, yeah, because you're trying to end it today. You're trying to, there is a tomorrow, but you're pretending there is no tomorrow. End it today and go home. Update out of Cleveland. Hopefully this is not a precursor to a trend in wild card games and series.
Uh-oh.
The Guardians are now up 6-1 over the Tigers. The Tigers took game one, so it looks like they'll be going to – that is in the ninth inning.
What happened to your math, Andy? I thought the math was undefeated.
Oh, the series isn't over. I don't know the details of how those series were won and lost. The Tigers will win tomorrow.
8 out of 12 and they'll be fine. Two games. Andy, I think
so. 8 out of 12 were two games. That means 4 out of 12, one third of them, went to three games before the team.
I don't know. That math is getting a little shaky for me.
No, that math is quite simple because it's easy numbers. Have to a few more series, and it'll be much more difficult. Hope that's not a trend, because we've had some predictions on the text line too. There seems to be a belief. I've seen a lot of texts, and I'm sort of summarizing a bunch of. I'm a Red Sox fan, but the Yankees aren't done. I'm a Red Sox fan, but. You know, I don't feel great
That's
about
tonight.
That's just
ingrained tonight. in the Red Sox
like
fan right there.
I feel like it
is. To be skeptical. I don't blame him.
And then I'm assuming this is our caller, Brandon from Boston, the 857, says 7-3 Yankees, trust me.
Oh.
Okay.
You know what? That sounds like a Brandon
statement. Sounds like how he would say it. Yes,
he got the script.
Right. Yep. 7-3 Yankees, trust me, Brandon from Boston. I hope that is not the case. I'll tell you, I am being a little pessimistic or whatever. I'm buying a little too much into this. Changing of the catcher thing. I think if Bayo gets out of a clean first inning, I'm feeling good about Bayo going definitely 5+, maybe 6+ innings.
Would it relieve your stress at all to remind everybody what Bayo's ERA is with Navarez catching versus Connor Wong catching?
So his ERA with Connor Wong catching through 23 games is 3.41. You're like, that's pretty good, right?
I'm thinking so.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Six games with Carlos Narvaez catching him, it's 3.07.
Oh, so
I believe that's better.
So why so worried?
I think over the last couple of years, we've seen that there is a lot of mental to Brian Bayo.
Okay.
A lot of mental. And those guys, and this isn't a shot at him. We all deal with a lot of mentals, right? Like, things make us cranky. We're in good moods. We're up, we're down, we're in, we're out, whatever. But he's in a situation where I think you'd want, Ted, you tell me. Tell me athletes are stupid. You tell me they're creatures of habit and all these things, right?
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Well, not all athletes are stupid, just some. But I get your point.
Feels like a blanket statement.
I'm not alluding to stupid. I just think athletes, they're used to same thing over and over again. Right. And when something derails, I mean, hell, Will Campbell, we talked about wearing some Superman underwear since high school that he's got in a plastic baggie. And that's just underwear. And this is a guy who he's pitched 29 times. 23 of them have been with Connor Wong. And there's a comfort. And for a guy that I think comfort matters and mental matters, I think this is a big deal. But the beauty of the Yankees is you're tested right out the gates. Like, I'll see how he faces Judge in the first inning. at Yankee Stadium. And that will potentially tell me what kind of a mental state or confidence he's in.
And just real quick, going back to Carlos Rondon, you're talking about you're not giving faith that he's going to pitch a good game because it's the Red Sox, right? Because his 33 games pitched this year, he's got a 3.09 ERA.
Yeah, no, but against the Red Sox,
okay, so that's,
he's had his scuffles.
Fair,
this
okay.
is what we do. Mm-hmm. We look at matchups, and this is what we accuse Alex Cora and the Red Sox of doing too much during the regular season.
How many games
did
he pitch against the Red Sox, do you know?
Three. 5.74 and 15
what
and
the
two
lineups
innings.
Were in those games. But
yes, Dan Ball.
Are we citing playoff numbers as well, where he has a career 6.64 ERA in six appearances?
Oh, there you
Ooh,
go.
I like that number.
Excited now. Okay.
He can spit that, Ted. He can spit that bit. Yes, he's a bit of a front runner. Get him going.
Gotcha.
And yeah, then maybe big curveball. Like, and even Alex Cora told us when we talked to him in the 2 o'clock hour today, if it's Rodon who can throw 98, 99, if he's got his good gas, he may be a problem. But if he's, throwing low 90s, they like their chances.
All right, we've got a little texting feud breaking out after I read Brandon's prediction on air.
What do you got?
So now we got 617-52 Sox from Jay on the Cape. Suck it, Brandon. And then 774, Sox are good, no worries. Brandon takes always suck.
they're strong.
There's a lot going on there. Well, you got to have strong takes.
Yeah. There's no gray area in Brandon's takes.
So, Ted, you're not concerned about this in terms of the – you think whatever happens to Bayo tonight will be purely a physical performance against the Yankees?
I feel like he's kind of exercised some of the demons this year. But when it comes to high leverage situations, pitching with runners on base, I feel like he's had a lot of opportunities where he's had to dig himself out. I just think he's mentally stronger this year than he's ever been. So I'm not as concerned about the mental state of Brian Bayo as you are.
Who was his catcher for 137.1 of those innings?
Connor Wong.
Who was his catcher for only 29.1 of those innings?
Carlos Narvaez.
Good answer. Okay. We played this game before.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, that is my only concern. And as I said, he can shut 1-2-3 first inning, and I'll be feeling differently about Bayo. I also believe the crowd will feel differently.
Let me ask you this: in the past, there's been. Right, Tim Wakefield had a catcher, right, that only caught for him?
Yes.
Doug Mirabal.
And that was because he threw knuckleballs,
That's
right?
It's a little different, yeah.
Is there another situation where it wasn't a knuckleballer, where he had to have a certain catcher that you can think of? I mean, is this...
Yeah, Dan Ball?
John Lester had David Ross during their World Series run in 2013.
So he was...
A specific catcher, one out of every 5 days, isn't overly uncommon.
Gotcha.
Well, and I think some of it is, not to go too deep down this rabbit hole of why certain guys catch for certain people, some of it sometimes is, I think, you're not going to use your catcher every day. Catchers, as much as anybody, need some days off in there. And to give the continuity of using the same backup with the same pitcher instead of maybe your fifth starter always getting a mixed match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like giving that guy the stability of every fifth day you might have Connor Wong as your catcher. And then they slide into a comfort zone. And if it works, that's great. If it doesn't, we'll see what happens.
Real quick, do you mind if Dan Ball just gives the lineup one more time?
I think
it might be good just to, if there's any changes to the lineup, just let people know what that's going to be looking like, Dan.
Well, as was confirmed by Alex Cora with WEEI Afternoons, and we'll mix in some of those later on in the show. Rob Refsnyder leads off. He's your DH. Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third. Roman Gonzalez at first. Carlos Navaya is your catcher. Nate Eaton in right. Jaron Duran in left. Sadon Rafaela in center. Nick Sogard at second. So you can also add the little asterisk in there, Ted. You'll have Nate Lowe pinch hitting probably for Romy. Yeah. You'll have Massa probably pinch hitting for Rob Refsnyder.
And
you'll have Willier probably in for Nate Eaton by the time all is said and done. David Hamilton pinch hitting somewhere.
Oh, the legendary.
And changing everything in the
yes,
game.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Anyone else think last night when Lowe got up and he had two guys on, two outs, and he pinch hit, he absolutely smoked that ball. I thought that one was going out. Judge had to make that semi-leaping catch out by the fence. Like,
you mean when he misplayed it?
He misplayed it. But like, don't rule low out for a big hit. That guy looks very dialed in, very confident at the plate right now.
And we did want to clarify, he is a World Series champion. He does have a ring, Ted.
Yes.
You shorted him a ring. You, above anybody else, should honor the rings, right? Teddy 3 rings should honor the ring of... Low.
I like to honor just the guys with multiple rings. You know what I mean? Alex Bregman and the Aroldis Chapmans of
now,
the world.
Wait, now you could have multiple rings to make the Ted Johnson different class. Respect meter.
A lot of guys can just win one. Can you win multiple? That's a little bit harder, you know?
That's what some of them are chasing.
How many times is a Craig Breslow a World Series champion, Andy?
One. No, not two. Joe Braverman is like three studios down. I'm looking through a line of glass. Yes, there was a funny 2-minute grill on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Craig Breslow in 2007 earned, in quotes, a World Series ring. Late in the year, he was in Pawtucket. They told him they needed him. There was some bullpen issues. They were starting a young starter. They weren't sure what. So make the drive up from Pawtucket. Get to Fenway. We need you. Clay Buchholz went out and pitched a complete game no-hitter. Craig Breslow was immediately told, we don't need you. Go back to Pawtucket. Oh. So he never did anything. Never stepped on a mound.
Well, he probably put the heat on Clay Buchholz.
Could be.
You know what I mean? He's like, oh, this Breslow guy is coming for my job.
Red Sox go on to win the World Series, and the traveling secretary, Jack McCormick.
Andy, you're just a hater.
He was contacted in, like, December, like, hey, what's your ring size? And he was like, ring size, and they gave him a ring, even though he never stepped on the mound, never stepped on the field. He also joked that he was invited to the White House, but he declined that because he was like, I literally never played with these guys. I'm not going to go to the White House and just be a hanger-on or a whatever you want to call it.
I'm okay with that.
So is he a multi-ring guy? Does he get the multi-ring Ted Johnson respect? Or is that like one and a half ring?
Barely. I'll give him half respect on that. That's not, I see what you're saying. That's not the real respect, but he was on the roster, so.
617-779-7937. Red Sox, Yankees, game two. How you feeling? We see your phone calls lining up. We'll get to your phone calls, your confidence level. If this goes a game three, do you think history repeats and the team that won game one always wins? Or will you be worried? That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, for the final time, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Thanks, Ted.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.